All right, Nehemiah 13. I'm going to start reading verse number 19 today. Nehemiah 13 and verse number 19. The Bible says, and it came to pass that when the gates of Jerusalem began to be dark before the Sabbath, I commanded the gates should be shut, charged that they should not be opened until after the Sabbath. Some of my servants set eye at the gates, that there should no burden be brought in on the Sabbath day. So the merchants and sellers of all kind of ware lodged without Jerusalem once or twice. Then I testified against them and said unto them, why lodge ye about the wall? If ye do so again, I will lay hands on you, for from that time forth came they no more on the Sabbath. And I commanded the Levites that they should cleanse themselves, and that they should come and keep the gates to sanctify the Sabbath day. Remember me, O my God, concerning this also. Spare me according to the greatness of thy mercy. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for these guys. Thank you for the messages that we heard and the truth that, God, we can apply to our lives. Help us to do something about it, God, in our lives and in our decisions. We ask that you would help us all with that. Lord, I ask you would bless this message. Lord, please, I pray that this would connect with the guys, that it would click with them. Guys, the things that they've been going through and maybe the struggles that they've been having, Lord, and maybe some of the ways the devil's coming after them. Lord, I need your help. I cannot do this myself, Lord. I pray that you would give me the right words and thoughts and spirit, that, God, you would just control things, Lord, and, God, that you would just move things as you wish, Lord, in this class right now. Speak to each heart, Lord. Help us to hear your voice through the preaching. Speak to our hearts. God, you care about our lives. You care about where we're going in life, our direction, our decisions. You care about all of it. And, Lord, you're interested in the most minute detail of our lives. Lord, I pray you please help us to listen to you on purpose today and give us what we need from it, Lord. I need your help. Pray that you would be glorified and that we would be more like you as a result, that we would be helped, Lord. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. Thank you, guys, for standing. So we've been in this for a couple of weeks, but what's going on, guys, is, right, Nehemiah was gone for a time after they completed the bigger projects, we could say, in Jerusalem. He had to leave for a time. This is chapter 13, verse 6. I will not read it, but he had to go back for a certain time. And when he came back, guys, the scene was not good at all, right? He saw his nation off track. He saw them defiling God. He saw them disobeying God. And he was not okay with it, guys. And he made some decisions to get them back on track. But the message is hanging outside the gate. That's what I'm preaching on. And what happened was they made some good decisions, okay? Once he noticed that things were not right, he made some decisions to get things back where they needed to be. But, guys, that doesn't mean the enemy just left them alone. That doesn't mean that once they made that initial good decision that the enemy just backed away and said, well, there's nothing we can do. Let's just move on. Just go to another town. Mess with somebody else. That's not how it happened, which we will dive into. So the message is hanging outside the gate. So, guys, first of all, we dealt with the familiar disobedience. That's from verses 15 through 18 here in Nehemiah 13. Guys, what were they disobeying God specifically about in this passage we're dealing with?
The Sabbath
day, right? Guys, we can remember way back in the Bible talks about in the Ten Commandments, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. That was for the Jews. That's not for us. We know we worship on Sunday. But for their day of worship, it was the Sabbath day, Saturday. And guys, they were completely, they totally disregarded what God had commanded them. I won't read these verses just to hurry up the time. But guys, they're doing all their normal stuff here. I mean, they're doing every bit of work that they would normally do. They're bringing in their stalks and their sheaves. They're loading up their animals with supplies. They're dealing with wine, grapes, figs, all manner of burdens. They're doing all these things. They're selling food. And because they were off track and played loosely with what God had taught them to do, you know what happened? The folks from other towns said, oh, they don't care about God's commands. They don't seem very strict about it. They're selling food. Hey, why don't we do the same thing? And in verse 16, it talks about the same thing. People, the Gentiles, saw what was going on. They said, hey, they'll buy our food. It says they had fish and other kind of ware, so different products that they would sell, different food that they would sell. They got the ethnic food trucks coming into Jerusalem on Sunday. I'm playing around a little bit with that because they didn't have the food trucks back then. But in their day and age, the equivalent of that, they're bringing things in. Say, hey, bring it on in. People will buy it. They like it. They like the way I fry up that fish. Let's go for it. And guys, Nehemiah shows back up, and he is not okay with it. He calls them out. He calls it evil. He's saying, he gives them a history lesson saying, didn't our nation do this before? And what happened? God had to punish us. So you think we can just go right back and do the same thing? I mean, guys, let's just throw it in a practical realm. I'm sorry, if you're playing basketball and there's some tall dude on the other team and you're going up for a layup and he smacked it back in your face, you next time down the court, you might not want to do the same thing, right? I mean, we got to learn something, right? At least fake it differently. At least act like you're going up, then go the other. Something. Change it up. You can't do the exact same thing. You do the same thing, you're going to get the same result, right? They said insanity is you do the same thing and expect a different result. Like, that's crazy. You know, I can't do the same thing and say, nope, it's going to be different this time. No, same thing's going to happen. Nehemiah's not okay with it, guys. He makes an issue of, hey, guys, you know what a lot of teenage boys want to do? They want to disobey God. And Ethan, they don't want anybody to make an issue of it. Just leave me alone. Just get out of my business. Just don't talk to me about that, all right? I just don't want you dealing with it. I don't want you. I've had guys tell me before, I don't want to talk to you. I don't want to counsel with you. I don't want you putting your arm around me saying, I'm trying to help you. I don't want that. Okay. When people say that to you, there's nothing you can do. But you know what? A lot of guys want to do that. I want to listen to the music I want to. I want to live the way I want to. I want to talk the way I want to. And I don't want people to make an issue of it. You know, guys, why people make an issue of it? Because they care. Because they care. Hey, guys, it's not easy to confront somebody that you know doesn't want to hear it. It's not easy to do that. I hate doing it. I have to, it's a dread to me. It's a drudgery to me. I hate it because I know it's not going to turn out well. Say, hey, man, you need to watch. As soon as you start hearing that stuff, you're like, yeah, thanks. And I want to give off the same sounds because I'm not looking forward to it either. All right. But you know what? If somebody confronts you about something, it's because they care. Hey, guys, if you're jacking up your life and your parents or your youth pastor or your teacher, your bus captain, or your friend that cares enough about you says, hey, you may not want to do that, calm yourself down, shut up those sounds, stop all that, stop sounding like a monkey, and say, you know what, maybe this person cares enough about me to try to help me. Hey, guys, pay attention to it. Pay attention to it. Those conversations are not easy. But, man, he's saying, I'm not going to allow this. This is not okay. Guys, you went to the youth rally. Maybe you had some sins in the background. God called them out through the preaching and through the trip. And, guys, that's a good thing for you. And, by the way, guys, you can't keep doing the exact same thing that you did before and expect God to be pleased with you, right? We've got to change it up. We've got to change it up. The familiar disobedience. They had done these things for so long, they got used to it. It didn't bother them anymore. Hey, guys, you ever had a time in your life you've gotten so away from God that it didn't bother you anymore? Ask God, if you're right with God now, thank God. But ask him to make you sensitive to sin. Hey, guys, does it bother you? Does it shake you up? Does it scare you when you just get the slightest bit off track in your Christian life? It should. You know, Ethan, what we want to do sometimes, we get the slightest bit off track, and then we start throwing the blame game and looking at everybody else. Well, Tim, yeah, I'm a little off track, but a lot of people are a lot worse than me. That doesn't matter. The fact is, you're off track, and you need to get back on track. The familiar disobedience, he's not okay with it. He makes an issue of it. All right, guys, let me throw it at you. What decision, kind of basic decision, does he make to cut off this problem? Close the gate. Simple decision, right? So, guys, every Sabbath day, which they're supposed to put God first and not do their normal work and routine, they're defiling God. They're violating his Sabbath. They're bringing in stuff, selling it. They're working, blah, 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 blah. All the normal activity, all the normal commerce is going on. Nehemiah comes back from Persia, sees that, and his head is exploding. He said, what are we doing? This is not okay. And he makes an issue of it. But guys, if he didn't close that gate, the same thing would happen. The same exact thing as before would have gone on. So he had to cut that thing off. Hey guys, that's the fundamental decision. So we have the familiar disobedience, the fundamental decision. He closed the gate, verse 19. Hey guys, whatever God spoke to you about, have you closed the gate on it? Have you shut the gate on it? Guys, if God got on you about your music, have you shut the gate? Have you stopped listening to it? Have you deleted those songs? If God worked on your heart about you shouldn't be hanging around those friends, have you shut the gate? Have you saying, you know what, I'm not hanging out with them anymore. We used to go here, we used to talk, we used to text, we used to communicate online. I'm not going to do that anymore. Have you blocked them? Guys, that's shutting the gate. That's the most basic decision I have. Even if I have something that's getting into my house that I don't want to be there, I'm sorry, the most basic decision I need to make is shut the door and lock that thing. If I don't want it coming in, I've got to close off the access that has in. Guys, we've got to do that, but have we done it? Listen, I know youth rally was a couple weeks ago. You say, that's out of my mind. That's a long time ago. Brother Tom, that was way back now. That was a couple weeks ago. Guys, if God spoke to your heart, even if it was 3 weeks ago, he expects you to be obeying him today. All right? But have you made those most basic decisions? Have you shut the gate on these things? Guys, this is baseline. This is ground level. This is the starting point. Hey, whatever area. Maybe God spoke to you about, you know what, you need to read your Bible. Are you doing it? Hey, guys, it doesn't just magically happen to read your Bible. You got to make a plan. You got to on purpose set your life up so that you do it. That means you got to wake up earlier. You got to have a place to do it. Guys, you can't just read your... I know we can read the Bible anywhere, but you really want God to speak to you, you need to set a priority for it. That means you need to be in a quiet place, maybe have a desk there or a chair, you have a light on. Have a notebook, have a pen ready. Guys, you've got to set a priority. Ethan, I don't just wake up in the morning and say, well, if I read my Bible today, I read my Bible today. You understand? If I do that, I won't read my Bible. Because other things will take priority. Every other things will jump in its place and say, no, you got to do this. Hey, guys, is it a priority for you? Have you shut the gate? Have you said, you know what? In this area of my life, the Lord, the disobedience that I've been doing, the devil tempting me has just been running me ragged, man. Have you shut the gate on it? Hey, guys, if there's a particular TV show that you know was not right, God spoke to you at youth rally, have you stopped watching it? Well, Tom, this is very basic. I understand. This is very simple. I understand. Why do you need to say it? Because we don't make the most basic decisions sometimes. Hey, guys, are you shutting the gate on those things? That's what Nehemiah did. But, guys, the story's not over. Point number three, the foes don't disappear. All right, verse number 20. Let's look at this. So the merchants and seller of all kind of ware lodged without Jerusalem once or twice. So this is talking about the people that were selling their food and their products that were from the surrounding towns. Guys, they show up on the Sabbath day, and what do they encounter when they get to Jerusalem? They encounter a closed gate, right? A locked up gate. And Aiden, they don't leave right away. The Bible says that these sellers and merchants lodged without Jerusalem once or twice. What does that tell you guys? That tells you that when they saw a locked gate, you know what, Chris? They thought, well, okay, that's weird. Because every time we show up here before Kevin, the gate's open, we go in, we sell, we're good. But it's locked now. You know what? They're thinking maybe that was a mistake. Maybe they didn't mean to do that. Maybe somebody forgot to open the gate, you know? Maybe the gate opener guy is sick today and his replacement didn't do his job. I don't know what they're thinking, but they're thinking, they didn't mean to do this. And you know what? It says they lodged out there. I mean, that doesn't mean they built houses, but you know what I mean? They stayed. They stayed. I mean, they stayed perhaps for a couple hours, perhaps the whole day. I don't know, but they stayed out there. That's very interesting. They didn't give up so easily. And guys, that's exactly the way it is with us. Listen, we go to a youth rally. We go to a youth conference. We hear the hot and heavy preaching. We hear the amazing singing. We're in this just exhilarating and exciting environment. It's all fun and exciting, and people are getting right with God. And we go to the altar, which is a good thing. We go down there, we pray, we tell God what's on our heart, and we make this official commitment. And we think the decision has been made. And when the devil strolls up to my life, he's going to see the sign. No, I got right with God. No, I rededicated my life. No, I'm serious about the Lord now. And we think the devil's going to see that sign like a no trespassing sign and say, oh, man, I really like tempting that guy. Man, I had a good time messing his life up. Oh, now he's got this sign that says no trespassing. I guess I'll have to go mess with somebody else. That's not the way the devil works. He doesn't give up that easily, guys. I'm glad for your decision. But listen, the devil doesn't take the hint, guys. The devil doesn't go away easily. The devil doesn't give up so lightly. He stays at it. Listen, and I'm glad for you praying. I'm glad for you getting right. I'm glad for you. All the things that happen. Wonderful testimonies. Wonderful. But guys, we've got a fight on our hands if you're going to keep those decisions. Hey, guys, listen to me. Making the decision is important. It is. It's a huge decision. But you know what? Keeping that decision is even more important. Because guys, if not, it's just a bunch of empty talk. It's just a bunch of emotion that's really no substance to it. The foes don't disappear. He made his official decision, his official commitment. Close the gates every Sabbath. And you would think that they would get the hint that this is an obvious choice. They're not buying anything anymore on the Sabbath day. But you know what, guys? The conflict was not over. It's not over. Not at all. The battle isn't over. It's just starting. You know what, guys? What did these people do? They came back. And they didn't give up so easily. And they hung around. And they stayed persistent. And they hung outside the walls. Outside the gate. Because you know what? Anthony, they thought, you know, I know this gate is closed and this is weird, but there'll come a time, Aiden. They're going to want this fish. They're going to want this food we sell. I mean, they're going to want these products. Hey, guys, they had already been in that town. They had already sold to those people. Am I right? Right. You know what, Ethan? They may have known, if you lived in Jerusalem, they may have known, hey, Ethan's a loyal customer. He likes that food we sell. I know. He comes every week and buys the same order. You like that? You buy the same thing all the time. I feel like if you get something that works, don't change it, right? If it ain't broke, don't fix it, right? But he likes that food. Or he likes this stuff, this product that we buy. Every week we stroll in town, we can count on this guy to buy it. Hey, guys, there was a pull. There was an ominous coming back. Listen, guys, listen.
You made that decision. You got right with God. You put the priorities back on obeying God. Thank God. Wonderful. You know what the devil says? Yeah, we'll see about that. Because he's coming back. Guys, I wish I could say, I really wish I could say up here, but you know what? You made that decision, Chris. You went down to the altar. You got right with God. The devil will now leave you alone. Amen. It's not true, though. Amen. He's not going to leave you alone. He's not going to leave you alone. Listen, he's going to come back. He's going to test it. He's going to say, oh, you gave up your music? We'll see about that. Oh, you gave up those cheap girls? We'll see about that. Oh, you gave up those friends that were wrong for you and bad for you? We'll see about that. He's going to test you on it, guys. He's coming back. And listen, he's probably not going to come back, Wes, when there's 2,000 people around you that love God. He's probably not going to come back when there's a huge youth choir of 150, 200 people blasting out the praises of God. He's probably not going to come at you at that time. He's probably going to come at you when you're alone. He's probably going to come at you when you're discouraged. He's probably going to come at you probably when someone has said something to you to hurt your feelings or to make you a little discouraged. And that's dealing when he's going to come after you, when you're weak, when you're discouraged. And he's going to say, he's a little vulnerable. Now I see a little chink in his armor. I'm coming after him. Guys, the devil doesn't play fair. And guys, he has that pull. Can I tell you, the devil knows what you like. The devil knows what you like. That's a scary thought. He knows what appeals to you. Guys, he's not omniscient. He doesn't know everything like God does. But you know what? He watches us. He observes us. So he watches the patterns of Tim's life, of my life, of all you guys. He watches us. And he studies us to say, you know what? I see a weak area. Whew, sobering thought. There's a pull. Hey, guys, they stayed outside the walls of Jerusalem. Ethan, if you like that fish they sell, they're probably still cooking it outside the walls. I mean, you're just in your house. You're trying to worship God. It's the Sabbath day. And what do they got? They got that fish. They would be cooking that outside the walls, right? Makes it hard for you. Hey, guys, listen, guys. I'm glad for your decisions. I'm glad you got right. I'm glad you made those good choices. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. I wish, as I said, I could tell you the devil will leave you alone. There'll never be another temptation. It'll all be easy street. It'll be a bed of roses. Easy. Rest of your life. You won't have to worry about it. You made that decision at the altar. The battle's over. Not true. Not true. Guys, he's coming back at you. Hey, guys, you made a decision not to be lusting after girls, not to be clicking on stuff. Can I tell you, you're still going to be tempted by that? You made a decision to get rid of the wrong music. Can I tell you, when you make that decision to get rid of the wrong music, sometimes it can still sound appealing to you. Yeah. I'm trying to be real with you guys. Listen, but you need to shut the gate. You need to make that initial main decision to cut it off. But the devil's not done with you. There's a pull on you. There's a proximity. They stayed close. Guys, these people lodged outside Jerusalem. You know why? Because they wanted those people from Jerusalem. They were after them. They were trying to get them to buy their stuff. There's a proximity. The devil's not leaving you. He's staying close. And there was a persistence. They lodged. They stayed there. And guys, as I've already been saying, the devil's coming after you when you're weak, when you're discouraged, when you're down. Hey. Maybe, God forbid, but maybe when one of your other friends that supposedly got right at the youth rally quits and you're discouraged about that, the devil will say, hey, I already got one to fall today. How about two? Two for the price of one. Can I get you to fall today too? That's how it works sometimes, guys. Even it could be on the very day, and I hope this doesn't happen. I hope everybody keeps their decision. But it could be on the very day that you hear about so-and-so that they dropped their decision. Man, I was there with him praying at the altar. Man, we were shedding tears. We hugged after that. Man, we were in on it together like brothers. And then you see him flirting around with the same kind of girls that he did before. Listen to the same junky music. And guys, that should bother you. You should say, man, that's not okay. You know what? Is that discouraging?
Yeah.
And then he says, you know what, Ethan, why don't I get you too? While I'm in the neighborhood, why don't I kill two birds with one stone? The devil doesn't play fair, guys. He does not play fair, and he's merciless. You say, well, why are you saying this, Brother Tom? Because he's after you. And guys, if he can get his foot on your throat, he's not going to let up. He's going to go for the kill. You can't let him have that decision. You've got to make that fundamental decision, close the gate, shut the gate, the opportunities. But you've got to realize the foe doesn't disappear. He's not giving up. All right, so how do we overcome it, right? That's not the end of the story, thank God. How do we overcome it? Well, I think Nehemiah gives us some good example of that, verses 21 and 22, and then I'll name off point number 4 for you. All right, verse number 21. You follow me, guys? Let's look at the verse. So how do we overcome this? How can we, even though the devil's lingering, even though he's after us, even though he's knows what appeals to us, how can we overcome this? All right, verse 21. Then I testified against them and said unto them, why lodge ye about the wall? If you do so again, I will lay hands on you. From that time forth came they no more on the Sabbath.
And I commanded the Levites that they should cleanse themselves, that they should come take the gates and keep the gates. Don't take the gates. To sanctify the Sabbath day. Remember me, oh my God, concerning this also, and spare me according to the greatness of thy mercy. All right, some cool stuff in here. You know kind of the main thing, guys? Here's point number four, the fierce defending. The fierce defending. All right, hanging outside the gate, familiar disobedience, fundamental decision, the foes don't disappear. Last point, the fierce defending. Hey, guys, you know what this is talking about? If you want to keep your decision, you got to be ready to fight. You got to be ready to fight for that decision. Guys, how serious are you about keeping your commitment to God? That's what I'm saying. You listening? I know it's warm in here, but listen. Are you serious? Are you dead serious about keeping your decision to God? Because I'm telling you, it's going to be tested. Again, and I don't mean to beat a dead horse, but if you went up and prayed, I'm glad for you. You got some things right, I'm glad for you. You know, you gave a testimony, I'm glad for you. That's all good. But guys, don't think that because you did that, that the battle's over. It'll all be peace and safety and harmony and everything will be great and I'll just skip through the lilies the rest of my life. No, that's not reality. All right, he's coming back. He's going to come back and he's not going to give up so easily. When he sees your gate is closed, he'll say, yeah, I'll just wait. I'll wait for my opportunity. He may be a strong Christian now, but how about next week? You listening? He may be a strong Christian now, but how about a month from now? The devil will wait as long as he has to, guys. He's going to keep waiting outside your life. He's going to keep watching. He's going to keep observing you saying, I wonder when he's weak. I wonder when he's discouraged. I wonder when I can come after him, when it will be the most effective. The fierce defending. So what does Nehemiah do? Verse number 21, guys, he's ready to fight. He talks to these people, these merchants and sellers from verse number 20, and he asks them, why lodge you about the wall? He's saying, what are you guys doing? Don't you realize we don't want your stuff? And then he says this, if you do so again, I will lay hands on you. What does that mean? Help me out. What does that mean? Yeah, he's saying, you show up here again with that garbage? It's not going to be good for you. We're coming after you. You say, shh. Sounds a little harsh. Hey, guys, he didn't want his nation to continue to disobey God and defile themselves. You know what he's saying? You people, we shut the gates. We try to give you the hint to get out of here, but you keep hanging around. Listen, you keep showing up with that again, we're coming after you. We're going to lay hands on you. We're going to kick you out ourselves. It's going to get physical, right? We're not playing with this. Hey, guys, you have to be ready to fight. And I'm not talking about a physical confrontation. I'm not saying you got to throw fists with people. I am saying, though, you need to confront things head on. Hey, guys, you got to have some grit and some guts in your life to say, I'm not going to give into these things. I'm not going to do it. And, guys, like he was talking about, sometimes your flesh wants to give back into them. And, guys, the devil is a master of subtlety, like I've told you a million times, that he says, well, just one can't hurt you. Yes, it can. And usually one doesn't stop at one. One leads to many more that will ruin your life and mess you up in a bad way. You got to be ready to fight. He's saying, listen, you show up here again. Next Sabbath day, you come back, you try to hang outside the walls. Boy, we're not just going to let you stay there anymore. We're going to kick you out personally. Do not show up here again. They got the message. They didn't show up again. Listen, if the closed gate wasn't enough of a hint to them, Nehemiah calling them out and threatening violence, that was enough to say, okay, they don't want our stuff. We're not coming back. Praise God. You know what, guys? You've got a battle on your hands. Listen, if you decided to give up the wrong music, you've got a battle on your hands. You've got to be ready to fight not to give in to that music. Because I guarantee you, your flesh is going to want it pretty soon. If it hasn't already, you're going to feel weak and you're going to feel vulnerable and say, man, I miss that stuff. It happens. It happens. It happens. Those desires don't just immediately die. You have to continue to kill those things in your life. Guys, you can't give up so easily. The Bible talks about in Colossians, you got to mortify the deeds of the flesh. You know what mortify means? Put to death. The stuff that we struggle with, those evil desires, you got to put that stuff to death. Continue to stab it. You say, it's sounding violent in here. Guys, if you want to keep your decisions, you got to get dead serious about it. You got to be ready to fight. Nehemiah said, you show up here again, boy? Woo! We're about to throw down. It's not okay. It's not okay for you to show up here. It's not okay. And he confronts it head on. And he goes after it, guys. What does the Bible say? James 4, 7. It says, submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Can I tell you though, Tim, in my opinion, that resist is not a one-time thing. Hey guys, you say, all right, I'm doing the right thing now. I'm not going to hang out with those friends that are wrong for me anymore. That's it. I'm putting my foot down. The devil's going to say, oh really? He's going to come back. He's going to test you again.
You're going to say no, he's going to test you again. You're going to say no, he's going to test you again. He's going to come back, and he's going to come back, and he's going to come back. Guys, you've got to be ready to fight. Say, devil, I'm not giving into this. I'm going to keep doing right. I'm not giving up. Guys, when you finally do that, at some point in that process, the devil says, oh, okay, they mean business. And he backs away. He will flee from us. And by the way, we need to know by the word of God why we do certain things and why we don't do certain things. How did Jesus respond to the devil three times? With the word of God, right? You can't just say, devil, I'm tough. Devil's tougher. Devil, I made a decision at the youth rally. He's not scared of that. But you know what he is? Afraid of the word of God and the power of God. That's why you need to stand on that. You got to be ready to fight, guys. Hey, guys. Are you ready to fight for your decision? Does it mean that much to you? Hey, guys, are you ready to fight for your purity? Are you ready to fight for a clean mind? Hey, guys, if you're going to have a clean mind in this day and age, it's a fight. It's a battle. Because this world is filthy everywhere we go. You've got to work at it. There's going to be some things come across your path, some things you hear, some things you think about. You say, no! It's a battle. There's got to be a confrontation that's head-on. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Guys, have you been working on that? Listen, if you want those enemies to finally leave you alone for a while, you've got to continue to resist them fiercely. Don't give up. The fierce defending. Continue to push them away. And guys, verse number 22. And I commanded the Levites that they should cleanse themselves, that they should keep the gates to sanctify the Sabbath. You know what he did? He brought in reinforcements to fortify it. So, Ethan, I like this. He's you know what he's doing, guys? He's adding layers of protection. So, what did he do in verse number 19? He's saying, we got a problem here, we got an issue. He calls them out, close the gates, right? A lot of us guys, after we make that initial decision, we leave it alone and say, that should be good enough. Guys, can I tell you that's not good enough? Because the devil doesn't give up that easily, okay? He closes the gates, and then he sees what's going on, that the people are still hanging around. What does he do? He's saying, you come back again, boy, this is going to be in your face, all right? And he's saying, you better get out of here, and he runs them off. And thank God. But you know what? He doesn't quit at that point either. Tim, he doesn't say, well, you see them, they're leaving. We won. Let's celebrate. You know what he does? He puts extra guards there to say, next Sabbath day, we're not having this again. Now, the Bible says they didn't come back, but even if they did, they were ready. Guys, fortify it, reinforce it to fortify it. Hey, guys, if you don't want to fall back into the same music, the same friends, the same flirting with the girls, the same cussing, the same disobeying your parents, you've got to reinforce it. What do I mean? Build layers of protection on top of each other. Reinforce it. Guys, resist it. Do that repeatedly, over and over. Be resolute and refuse to go back to how it used to be. Hey, guys, don't go back to the same music. Don't go back to the same friends. Don't go back to the same flirting with the girls. It was not okay back then, and it won't be now either. But add that protection. How do I do that? Well, if I had the wrong friends before, maybe I know I need to cut them off, block them. But maybe I need to get some godly friends that are in the church. And maybe I need to start texting them. Maybe if I said no to these other friends, then maybe I need to say, hey, Ethan, can I get your contact? And Tim and Aiden and Wes, because you guys are good guys and I want to fortify myself because I'm trying to make some decisions. And when I get discouraged, I need some friends that care about God, that are godly men, to say, you know what? You'll encourage me to do right. You know what that is, guys? Extra protection. Extra protection. Because when you feel weak, it would be a great thing to have a friend that's strong that can help you and say, I'm praying for you, man, and send you Bible verses to say, don't give in. Don't go back to that music. Don't go back to those friends. Guys, you do that, it's adding protection to it. Hey, guys, have you done that? Listen, you may have given up the wrong music, and I'm all for you, but have you started memorizing verses about the right kind of music? Have you started memorizing verses from the Bible that, Anthony, when you get tempted to go back to it, you'll have extra layers of protection. Say, no, no, no. I can't go back into that because the Bible says, cease my son to hear the instruction that causes me to err from the words of knowledge. When I get tempted to click on that filth again, I need to have that verse memorized. I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. Hey, guys, you know what that is? Extra protection. Hey, guys, you want to keep your decision from you, Raleigh? You got to be ready for a fight. And you got to reinforce it to fortify it. Guys, a team that was a championship team from last year, you know what? During the offseason, they need to get stronger because the other teams are getting stronger. Hey, guys, if you want to keep that decision, that good decision that you made, you've got to get stronger because the devil's coming at you with more fight and with more vigor than he has in the past. You've got to reinforce it. Refuse to go back to how it was before. Refuse to go back to it. And, guys, last thing, I like in verse 22. So after he sets those extra guards, those Levites, those temple servants to take care of business, Notice what he says at the end of the verse. He says, remember me, O my God, concerning this also, and spare me according to the greatness of thy mercy. What do you think he's saying? What do you think he's saying? And I'll give you my last idea and we'll be out of here. What do you think he's saying here? What is he saying at the end of verse 22? We don't know.
I guess he's asking God to, I guess, notice what he did.
There you go. What I call it is, we recognize God's focus. You know, guys, listen. He's saying, Lord, you see what I'm trying to do here, right? You see that our nation was off track, and God, I'm trying to help them. We closed the gates, God. These people came back. They didn't quit. But Lord, we mean business about this. We are not playing around. We ran them off. We've added extra protection. We're not going to, listen, you know what the main point of it, Wes? He's saying we're not going to be okay with living in filth like we used to. That's not going to be tolerable for us. That's not going to be acceptable to us. He's saying we're going to get things back on track and we're going to keep them on track. You know what he says, God? You see what I'm doing, right? Hey, guys, can I remind you? God does see what you're doing. God does see what you're doing. Hey, guys, I'm glad for those of you that went on the trip. It's a great trip, okay? Great conference. Fantastic stuff. I love every bit of it. Good stuff. Helpful. But you know what? Anthony, God didn't just see that you went on the trip. You know what? He sees that you're trying to resist the temptations, even when you're all alone in your house on a Friday night with no church people around. He sees that too. Hey, guys, he saw you at the altar praying at the big service, which is fine. But you know what he also sees when you're trying to resist not listening to the wrong music at home by yourself? He sees that too. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. You're trying to live right. God sees that. Hey, guys, you're trying to stay away from the wrong friends, and they're making fun of you, and they're mocking you and ridiculing you because of that. God sees that. God sees that. That hurts you, that bothers you, and it's hard to deal with. God sees that. Nehemiah, after he does all this stuff, he's saying, God, remember me. You see what I'm doing here, right? You see that I'm trying. Hey, guys, remember that God is focused on you. He's watching you, and he sees what you're trying to do. You may have closed the gate in your life, saying, I cut this thing off. The devil's not done. God sees that you're trying to battle this thing through and trying to finish it and trying to follow through to not give in to that same temptation anymore. God sees that. Don't forget about that. Recognize his focus. We know that the Bible says our labor is not in vain in the Lord. Hebrews 6:10 is a great verse, guys, that I would suggest you look at later and memorize for your own encouragement. You know what the Bible says? The Lord God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love which you have showed toward his name and that you minister to the saints and do minister. You know what it's saying? Aiden, you're trying to do something for God. God sees that and God won't forget about it. He will reward that. God will not let you do something for him and let it be forgotten. He's not unrighteous, guys. Listen. And guys, let me just say this another time, and we'll get you out of here. But God didn't just see you at the big conference. God didn't just see you on this, you know, long trip that you guys took and the huge service and the great singing, great preaching. God didn't just see you at that moment. God sees you now. God sees you when you seem like the only one that's trying to live for God in your family. God sees that. He sees that, guys, and that's not going to be forgotten. He will reward you for that. You know what I'm saying? Keep trying. Don't give up. Don't get discouraged. When the devil keeps coming to your gate saying, hey, are you weak now? Can I come mess with you and destroy your life? You keep resisting. You keep those gates locked. You keep adding layers of protection to it. And you keep realizing, God, you see what I'm doing here, right? God, you see this. I'm trying. This is hard. But God, you see what's going on. Yes, he does, guys. And when you're on your job, and when you're in school, and when you're out in this world, and it seems like no one else cares, can I remind you, God still cares. And God still sees. You may be in a public school trying to live right. God sees that. You may be in a Christian school, and all the other kids don't care. But you're trying to do right. You're trying to put God first. God sees that. But guys, don't forget about that. And Nehemiah says, God, you see what I'm doing here, right? You see that I'm trying to get our nation back on track. You know what? God does see, and God's not going to forget about it. And guys, he won't forget about you. I'm glad that God rewarded Nehemiah for this. And guys, he will reward you nowadays too. God won't forget what you do for him. Hey guys, let me just remind you though, whatever decision you made is a great thing. But there's someone lurking and hanging outside the gate. He's not going to go away easily. Hey guys, are you ready to fight? If you want to keep that good decision that you made, it's going to take a fight. You up for it? I hope so. And guys, you're not battling this on your own. Greater is he that is in us than he that's in the world. If God be for us, who can be against us? But you know what? Let's keep adding layers of protection. Let's memorize more verses. Let's get more Christian friends to encourage us. Let's stay busy in the work of God and in the activities and in putting God first. You know why? Because that adds layers of protection to your walls to keep the devil out. And guys, you need to be ready to fight. Say, devil, you show up here again, you're going to have a fight on your hands because I'm not giving in that easily. And guys, that's how you overcome the devil hanging outside the gate. Let's stay at it. I want you to keep your decisions. Okay? You listening? I want you to keep your decisions. But it's going to take a fight. Just because you pray doesn't mean the battle's over. Just because you made the right decision doesn't mean the battle's over. He's coming back at you. Are you ready for it? Because he is hanging outside the gate. Let's bow our heads.